Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much once again that we can come before you, open the Bible, and learn from you. Father, as we do that once again here together, we ask you that your Spirit may touch our hearts and minds and help us to have the same experience of those two disciples that we are going to study today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our sermon for today is called Emmaus Experience, and it comes from Luke chapter 24. This is a story worth repeating again and again and again, because that's the heart of the gospel. So it highlights the living hope that we have only in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul understood that, and he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. So what Paul is saying here is that in Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection, we can have joy today, because we have hope. Jesus was become the first fruits of those they are going to resurrect. Those who, sleep in Christ until the second coming of Jesus, they are going to resurrect because of Jesus. But that was not still the living hope. This living hope was not far, like it was far from being established in the experience of the disciples at that time. So Jesus had just died. There were so many things they were not understanding yet. And then we have those two disciples that we're going to study today on Luke chapter 24. They were disappointed. They had great expectations. But, and now because of everything that happened, they were going home. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of those two disciples as they walk that 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Because we're going to see different stages of their experience as they walked that 2-hour walk from between Jerusalem and Emmaus. And the first experience that they had was a heartbreaking experience. So have you ever noticed that the saddest words in the English language start with the letter D? Not all of them, but many of them. Disappointment, doubt, defeat, despair, death. And all of those words, they were summarized in the words of those two disciples. And as they walked to Emmaus, on the Emmaus road, they left the confused group of the disciples in Jerusalem because of what happened on Friday. The crucifixion, the cross, all those things were still fresh in their memories. They did not understand what was going on there. So the Jesus, the master that they loved, the Jesus that they followed, had been put to death. A cruel death, the death of cross, the most degrading kind of death at that time. And the victim was made a public spectacle for everyone that was passing by. And that happened only one week after Jesus had his entrance, glorious entrance in Jerusalem, that everybody was celebrating Jesus as the Messiah that was going to deliver them from the tyranny of Roman occupation. Everybody saying, Hosanna. But now, 1 week later, Jesus is in a sealed tomb, dead. They could not understand what was going on. The disciples, they were disappointed. Their hopes were dashed. The dream was over. So the disciples were leaderless, falling apart. And we see here the two of them, they were going home. So there is nothing else for us here. So let's go home. And even the report of Jesus' tomb to empty did nothing to alter their thinking. It only confused them. The entire world had come apart. So the two disciples, they summarized what was happening inside of them with those words that we have in verse 21, in chapter 24. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. He was in the past. So human hope is a very fragile thing. So when it withers, it's difficult to revive. Hopelessness as a disease of the human spirit is very difficult to heal. So when we see, for example, someone sick, someone that we love or we care for, that is sick, that disease goes on and on, despair sets in. So it's almost impossible to hope for recovery, to be even afraid to hope because of not being able to cope with another letdown. So, and that was the situation with those two disciples. They had erected a wall of hopelessness around them. They were trapped in the misery. And that's why they said, we had hoped. So they were saying, we don't expect it now. But once we did, we had it, this thing that we call hope, but now it's gone. It's over. So, and I wonder that there might be something that we identify with today. So have you lost hope of something in your life? Something that you had great expectations and something happened? Or even your faith in Christ, for some reason, like someone or something has come between you and God, your relationship with God. So I'd like to share this story with you from the Emmaus Road, because the heartbreaking experience that we see here is just its beginning. So, and those travelers, those two disciples, they made their way to Emmaus, and a stranger fell alongside them. And that became one of the most wonderful walks in history. One of the most amazing conversations that we find in the Bible. And we know, of course, that a stranger that came along was the resurrected Jesus. But somehow they did not recognize Jesus. Even after walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, they were not able to recognize Jesus, as the Bible says in verse 16. But they were kept from recognizing him. And some Bible says they did not recognize him. So maybe they did not recognize Jesus because they were so depressed that they didn't even take the time to look at the face of that stranger. They were walking with them. Maybe. But maybe that was part of God's plan. So it was not an accident that they didn't notice that Jesus was there with them. They were not allowed to recognize Jesus for a purpose. So it was maybe to identify with us today. So we are in the same position, ourselves, some 2,000 years later. We don't have the physical presence, visible physical presence of Jesus with us today. How can we handle the problems? How can we have hope in something that we don't see? So that might be like the reason why they weren't able to recognize Jesus at that time. But this story continues. In verse 17 says that the stranger, that person, Jesus, asked them, so what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their face downcast. And I just think how wonderful our Jesus is. Compassionate, loving, gracious. Because Jesus could have rebuked them and said, like, I was here with you for 3.5 years, telling that I was going to die, and now you guys are like that? But Jesus did not do that. So Jesus was very compassionate because of their situation. Jesus does not berate them, but rather someone, as someone put it in a moving words, says, is in his infinite courtesy, Jesus remembered the frailty of overstrained nerves and bewildered minds and came not too suddenly or overwhelming upon them, but in a way which he alone could do to reveal himself as the risen Christ. And I think there is a powerful lesson for us here as we deal with people that have lost hope. So Jesus is teaching us a lesson here about how to deal with people that lost hope. They need companionship. They need our presence. They need a listening ear before trying to fix the problem, trying to give advice. So let's love people by listening. Let's love people by spending time with them, like trying to understand what is going on, accepting what they feel. So there will be a time later to point the people to the way of hope, to the one who can give them hope. But for now, like a companionship. And remember that presence many times is much more important than words. Just being present. So, and Jesus was there. Jesus asked the question. And Jesus was just listening. And that helped them to go from that first stage to the second stage. From a heartbreaking experience to a heart-searching experience. And the story goes on. And after Jesus asked that question, so what are you guys talking about? What happened? So Cleopas, one of those two disciples, he said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in those days? So are you not familiar with what happened in Jerusalem? He was in disbelief. How could you be in Jerusalem and not to hear what happened? And Jesus, very patiently, he just said, so what things? And Cleopas continued about Jesus of Nazareth. And he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And he goes on, just talking about people, about who Jesus was, about what happened to Jesus, how Jesus was crucified. But notice one thing here. He was. So he was. Past tense. Which strongly implies that Jesus was not relevant to the present anymore. Or otherwise, they wouldn't have been in their present downcast state of mind. Their experience of Jesus was in the past, not in the present. And they thought that they were alone. So the cross had taken him from them, and their minds had not made sense of that change. Situation or adjusted to it. The cross was just something negative that happened. So I think we have all heard exciting testimonies of what Jesus has done in the past, our lives or someone else's lives. But how about the present? So the past is history. The past is important because it's our history. It's what happened to us. It's our experience. But the question is Jesus a present, bright reality to you today? Not your past, but your present. So is Jesus a present, bright reality for you today? Do we always recognize him beside us? So, and life has many distractions. So it's so easy to lose our focus. We got distracted by so many things. We have to work. So we have to study. So we have so many other things happening in our lives. Sometimes we struggle with some things, and maybe someone in our family is sick or ourselves. And all those things, they are distractions, which can so grind us down that we just carry on mechanically. We don't even think about life. Never lifting our eyes, never lifting our minds from the dust of the earthly road that we travel. And we become unaware of the glory of Jesus' presence. We become unaware of the strength of his presence with us. And because of those distractions, life loses its meaning and leaves us washed out. But this story gives us hope. So because it's saying here that Jesus is still there. So he is the unseen stranger. And he is there even when we cannot see him or recognize him. So he's there walking with us, listening to us. And if we are willing to hear his voice, he's going to reveal himself to us, if we are willing. And as the two disciples spoke of the cross, Jesus took hold of their sorrow, confusion, and gave them a heart-searching experience. So how did Jesus do that? So Jesus pointed them to God's self-revelation in the scriptures, in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And verse 27 says that, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him," concerning himself. So Jesus must have given to those two disciples the greatest Old Testament exposition history. What a amazing Bible study. 2 hours walking with Jesus from Jerusalem to Emmaus to that congregation of two people, just the two disciples. And Jesus talking about the Old Testament, about all those prophecies, it was like then as a jigsaw of types, shadows, and symbols of the Old Testament, Revelation. And that they, like everything started to come together for the disciples. So, and Jesus would have reminded them of that right back in the fall of mankind, that Satan seemed to be victorious, but then, God gave human beings a promise that the seed would crush the head of the serpent, but the Messiah would be hurt, striking his heel. It was an image, a wonderful anticipation of Jesus at Calvary. And so, it was foretold of the story of the cosmic struggle between death and life, a pattern of death and resurrection in the Old Testament Revelation. So, and Jesus probably told them about Abraham, the life of Abraham, how Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son. And now he was pointing to God's willingness to do the same thing for our own salvation. And then probably he pointed to Joseph that was preserved to become the benefactor of his brothers who tried to destroy him. And probably Jesus told those two disciples of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt after having been saved from the angel of death through the sign of the blood of the Passover lamb that was pointing to the Messiah. So Jesus would have recalled his own teaching of how the Israelites escaped physical death in the wilderness from the plague of the serpents when they looked trustfully to a great bronze serpent which Moses raised on a pole, pointing to that one that was going to lift himself up on the cross. As John chapter 3:15 says, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life in him. So Jesus would surely have taken the now speechless disciples through the suffering servant chapters of the book of Isaiah, showing that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be triumphant, but he was going to be a servant, a suffering servant that came to save. So, and then he was going to point them to the nation of Israel, how they were taken to the exile and brought back and again to rebuild Jerusalem. That was a symbol of a greater redemption that was going to be found in Jesus Christ, in the Messiah. And then we see probably Jesus talking about Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 9. Jesus teaching them, reminding them about the 70-week prophecy that the Messiah was going to be cut in the last week of the last of the middle of the last week of that prophecy. So, and here was proof that Jesus had fulfilled all those prophecies that were in the Old Testament over the centuries. That these Old Testament anticipations of his passion and triumph of life over death proved that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And the two disciples, they could not have expected that sharing their problems with a stranger, going back home, would brought such an amazing experience to them, bringing a solution, bringing all those things together. Now the cross was making sense for the first time for them. But Jesus was not there just to help them to find solution. Jesus was there to reveal himself. So, and Jesus said, did not the Christ have to suffer all those things? So the problem for the disciples, not only those two, but all of them, remember, they were disappointed. They didn't know what to do when they saw Jesus on the cross. The problem for the disciples was how to make sense of the cross. The cross didn't make sense. How to accept it. So Jesus helped them to do that, showing that the cross itself was a creative act of God. Jesus was not actually killed. Jesus gave his life. So Jesus was on the cross because of the creative act of God in saving us. And the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, he said that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So the cross of shame, the cross of suffering, had become the cross of redemption for all who would come to Jesus in repentance and faith. So the cross of redemption. So when Jesus intrudes into our lives, as he did that day, coming along, walking with those two, probing their thoughts, it's for a purpose of blessing us. So we have to understand that. But how do we respond? Do we, like the two disciples, welcome his initiative and let him minister to us? Or do we want him to keep talking, explaining what previously baffled us? And sometimes the things that Jesus reveals to us, God reveals to us, are uncomfortable into our conscious and invades the private areas of our lives. So Cleopas, one of those disciples, and his companion, accepted the gentle rebuke of Jesus. In verse 25, that Jesus said, "How foolish you are. You are slow to believe all that the prophet have spoken." And I think the key word in this verse here is the word "all." It wasn't that they hadn't read the prophets of the Old Testament. I believe that they had a very good knowledge. That's why they accepted Jesus as the Son of God. But perhaps they read the Scripture, the Bible, selectively, concentrating on those parts they spoke of a triumphant Messiah who would come to deliver them from their enemies. And the passages that he spoke of, a suffering Messiah, a suffering servant, did not fit in with their expectations. And they had tended to skip over them. So, and when they had been given that exposition from the Old Testament, they reacted positively. And in fact, they wanted even more, which led to the last stage of this experience that they had with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So they, at the beginning of that journey, they were going through a heartbreaking experience. Now Jesus was walking with them, and they had a heart-searching experience. And now they are having a heart-burning experience. Their two-hour journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus must have seemed like 5 minutes. Can you imagine? Jesus himself talking with you, telling you about all those great prophecies. They were pointing to him. So being so wrapped up in this absorbing conversation with Jesus that they had not yet recognized. For them, it was just a stranger. And Luke, in verse 28, tells us that as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. Which tells me a lot about Jesus. Jesus is a gentleman. So he is not going to force himself if we don't want him in our lives. So he was waiting for their invitation to come in. So I believe that God gave us one of the most precious gifts that we have. It's a dangerous gift, but it's very precious, which is the gift of free will. We can choose. We have a choice. And we can use this gift to invite Christ into our hearts, or we can allow him to pass on. So in the vision of the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, so we have exactly this picture. When Jesus says, "Here I am," Jesus is not presenting himself as someone in the past. He is saying, "I am here. I am in front of you. I'm in front of your life. I'm standing at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So it's Jesus is showing himself in the present. And I probably have heard about this beautiful picture. You probably have seen the picture of Jesus knocking at the door, but there is no doorknob on the outside. So only on the inside. Why? Because only you can open the door. So Jesus is not going to force his way in. We have to let him come in. So, and that's exactly what we see here in this story. So, and this verse says that Jesus acted as if he was going further. And that was a test to see if the disciples had more appetite for the things of God. Which they did. And we are told in verse 29 that those two disciples, they said, "Stay with us." So, stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So Jesus went in and stayed with them. I think this is an invitation that Jesus cannot resist, because he wants to be part of our lives. Those two disciples, they said, "Please, stranger, we don't know who you are, but stay with us." So, and Jesus came in. So a basic meal was prepared, something simple. The bread was on the table. And the moment of Jesus' disclosure has come. How did Jesus do that? How Jesus reveal himself that they could at this moment recognize him? So verse 30 tells us that when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Jesus did the same thing that he did many times before. When he was feeding the 5,000, Jesus broke the bread, gave thanks, gave to them. Jesus did the same thing in the Last Supper, a couple of days before that day. And Jesus probably did that many other times, having meals with his disciples. When they saw the hands of Jesus, they knew that was him. It was the same hands. same hands, but there was something different. There was a scar of the nails. When they saw those hands, Jesus breaking the bread, but now there was the signs of the crucifixion, they recognized Jesus immediately. And the Bible says that it was in that moment that Jesus just disappeared. When their eyes were opened, that they recognized Jesus, Jesus disappeared from their sight. And I was wondering, why did Jesus have to disappear? Couldn't he stay just a little longer with them? Now that they knew that he was Jesus, he could, but he didn't, because it was all part of the education of his last 40 days on earth. So there was a purpose. And this was the purpose: how to manage our lives, our hope, without his bodily presence from now on. From now on, the disciples were not going to have Jesus physically with them. How could they manage not to be in despair or disappointed? It's exactly the same as we have to do some 2,000 years on. So how can we manage not having our hope, not losing our hope, not losing our faith, without the physical presence, visible presence of Jesus Christ? So we can know today that he's still with us, because that's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 28 says, I will be with you until the end of the ages. Psalm chapter 23, even if you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. Even when we don't recognize Jesus with us, he's still there. We have to remember that. He's still here with us by his Spirit. He's here with us as we fellowship with him, as we worship together, as we spend time studying his word, as we spend time praying, as we obey his commandments, as we remember him through the communion, as Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, breaking the bread. And I can imagine Cleopas and his friend, those two disciples, standing in amazement. In amazement, perhaps embracing that great joy, asking each other what we have in verse 32. Were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with us? He talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us. So those two disciples, they went not from a journey only from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but they went from their heartbreaking experience to a heart-burning experience because Jesus was there with them. Their world had come together again. The heart-burning experience is something that we all need today. We need it in our a conversion experience when the Holy Spirit makes us realize that we need Jesus more than anything else in this world. We don't let the distractions come between us and God, and everything else is a distraction. We need it as we allow the Holy Spirit to apply the truths of the Bible in our daily walk with Jesus. So, and let me ask you, as we come closer to the end of this sermon, where are you in your experience today? Are you still heartbreaking because something happened to you in the past? Perhaps you are still in the heart searching process, which is fine. So it's good to be searching, as long as we are searching the right place, because that is going to take us to the last stage, the heart-burning experience that we all need. So God deeply longs for each one of us to walk with him in a close relationship, that he can fulfill his plans for our lives. And I just want to remind you that Sometimes we spend most of our times having a heart-breaking experience. And that can change in a second. That can change in a second. For those disciples, it was a matter of a conversation with Jesus. 2 hours walking with Jesus. Everything changed because they changed their perspective. So those 2 disciples, no doubt, had walked this way many times. So it was not the first time that they were traveling that road. Maybe they did that many times. Many times. And sometimes, like, I believe that we are going to do many of the same things that we have to do. But God can use even our ordinary routine to reveal himself, if we let him. And that is going to be a life-changing encounter with the Lord. He can draw near to us at any time, in any situation. The ways of God are not always obvious, so we must be open to allow him to enlighten our understanding, to take us into a new level of a spiritual experience. So in life, we'll never be the same again. Life will never be the same again. So we need to remember, Jesus is risen from the dead. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is really important, but we have to remember that he didn't stay dead. He didn't remain on the tomb. He was resurrected. So Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is our intercessor. Jesus is the only hope of the world. And those 2 disciples lost no time in retracing their steps back to Jerusalem to share the great news that Jesus was alive. That now, like, everything was making sense. They were not like in that prison of the past, but now they have reason to celebrate the presence of Jesus Christ in the present. So, and they have something to share to other people. May that be your experience today and for the rest of your life. As you have a life-changing experience, as you understand what Jesus has done, and we understand that he's always present, so we may have always something good to share with others about this amazing Jesus. Let's pray.